You are listening to the Wealth Without Bay Street podcast, a Canadian guide to building dependable wealth. Join your hosts, Richard Canfield and Jason Lowe, as they unlock the secrets to creating financial peace of mind in an uncertain world. Discover the strategies and mindsets to a financial future that you can bank on.
So how exactly can you live your best and healthiest lifestyle ever? Well, we're going to find out a little bit about that today with our guest who prides himself on educating his clients so they can live just that. He's had 36 years of fitness and nutrition expertise. He's an internationally published author, a podcast host, over 3,000 episodes and counting, including this one today, a motivational speaker and a chartered accountant and business coach. Welcome to the show, Rob Evans.
G'day, Richard. Thanks for having me on the show. It's a pleasure. And hi, Vernon.
How are you, Rob?
Well, one thing that's really fun, I think, for our guests to know is that I cracked a little joke before we hit the record button here, of course, that you're joining us today actually from tomorrow, which is great. We've got a few time zones in between us during this recording. So setting up an interview is always a bit of an interesting trick when you're working in a global scenario. But the fact that we're even able to do that is pretty amazing on its own. And you've been hosting, you know, you have a podcast you do every day and you've committed to that. You know, you've got this amazing thing for anyone watching on YouTube. You've got Mental Toughness and Body Show there. And I'm curious a little bit, we're going to get into your story a bit more, Rob, but let's talk about the podcast for a second, because 3,000 plus episodes is a feat. I don't know anyone else who's accomplished such a feat. What's the drive and what's the decision-making process that you made to honor that commitment?
Yeah, it's interesting. I actually have two podcasts. So there's this one, the Mental Toughness and Body Show. It all started when I was working with my business coach, and he said, you've got to start a podcast and just call it Rob Evans 365 in terms of, you know, something that you're doing every single day, 365 days a year. And so I started recording that, and that's the one that's the longest. So I think we've just clocked over 3,400 episodes. So he said, look, there's no one in your industry that's doing this. So he said, do it. I mean, do the maths. I mean, we're over 2,000 episodes. So however many years ago that started, and I do it every single day. And with what I do with my clients and my own self-development, like, success only comes through the things that you do every single day. And yeah, like you said, I don't know anyone that's done more than 3,400 episodes of podcasts. And I would put money on the fact there's not someone out there that's doing two podcasts every single day. Public holidays, Christmas, you name it, I do them. And I guess what drives me to do it, it's not like I've got millions of followers and things like that. I remember I met Dr. Phil, and he was, don't quote me on the numbers, I might get that wrong, but I think the time that I met him, I think he had just recorded like his 3,000th episode. Like his Dr. Phil show. And I thought, wow, I want to beat that. I want to get to 10,000, and obviously different context and stuff. And then there was like the Joe Rogan show, and like he didn't even have 3,000. I thought, but at the time I only had, you know, like 100 or something. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to beat that number. I may not get the number of listeners, but I can certainly pump out the, you know, quality and volume and stuff. And I think as time has gone by, I think it's more about also a legacy that I can leave behind. Like where this came up for me was during COVID. Like here, well, you guys there in Canada as well were locked down similarly to us, but no other city was locked down as many days as we were here in Melbourne, like over 300 days. And I was thinking at the time, gee, if my grandparents were alive, imagine what it would be like to have a conversation with them that have gone through like the First World War, just start to get better, go through the Great Depression, get through all of that. And then they get the Second World War. And like you think about what they had to deal with. Like my grandparents, they had, like, they grew their own vegetables, they grew their own fruits, and because they had to. And a lot of the biggest challenge for a lot of people in our countries are, what am I going to binge watch on Netflix, and what am I going to order on Uber Eats? It's like I just thought, actually, imagine if you could have gone back and listened to their podcast in that time to hear what they had to go through. So I thought, well, you talk a big game, Rob Evans. Why don't you, through COVID, you know, keep talking about all of this stuff because it's such a unique time in history. And so now I think about, you know, my girls and if my eldest one decides to have kids, then, you know, it's for their kids and the future generations and that kind of stuff. And so where I travel around, people give me feedback about, you know, how they like the show and what they like about the show. So I like to say, well, what do you like about it? And it's just really cool. I mean, we've got the benefit of the technology to be able to connect like this wherever anyone is in the world and just to have it digitally there forever to make a difference to somebody. If you can impact one person, you know, I started the podcast for one client that was having a really, really tough time. And I wanted to get them to create some habits and stuff. And I just had that one client. And now I think it's over 70 countries and it's cool. I just really enjoy the process. For me, it's a good discipline to just like twice a day. It's just a habit now, like getting up, putting on my shoes. I just do it twice every single day. And it challenges my thinking. It's also helped me practice my public speaking because I was a bit of a like, you know, that in my speech, and I wanted to get rid of that. And I wanted to be more confident. And when I did speak to people, to be able to be a conversationalist as well and not just be thinking, oh, I don't know what you're going to say. I'm just going to disappear now because I don't know what to say. I'm scared, you know. And I used to hate public speaking and now it's like, let's go.
That's awesome. Hey, Rob, that's a great response. I'm just curious. I see your, I don't know if that's a brand logo or just that mental toughness and body show there. I just have a question for you about mental toughness. You said you started the podcast for just one client and they were having a tough time. Like there's a lot of people out there who are, you know, trying to make different changes, trying to build habits. I mean, Rich and I talk to clients all the time about, you know, developing rhythm as it relates to implementing a process and that sort of thing. Where would you say would be a really good starting point if there's somebody who's struggling, let's say specifically with something in their health, to build a habit, to build that mental toughness, to get beyond, you know, decision fatigue and all these kinds of things that people deal with? Like, where's a really good starting point to start to build a new habit and get into a rhythm on a new process?
Yeah, sure. Yeah. So the Mental Toughness and Body Shows was the second podcast that I started. And what happened was just at the start of COVID, I think just before COVID started, my coach reached out to me and he said, you need to start this show. And so then I started, and then it obviously then was a perfect segue into COVID. With the clients that I work with, like we all have stuff going on in our life. And when people, like I've been in business full-time for 15 years doing this now. And when people first started to come to me, it was about, I want to lose weight. It was all weight loss, weight loss, weight loss, weight loss. COVID happened. And now when clients come in, they rarely mention weight loss. Mm. It's about, they want to be healthy. They want to get more energy in their life. Some people want to start families and put themselves in a better health position. And then others will say, yeah, I'd like to lose some weight as well. And so then when you pull apart what has put people like where we are right now, and you can kind of reverse engineer. So what's put you to this place? And with everybody's busy lifestyles and so forth, I think people overcomplicate what it is that they need to do. And they get so complacent with their lifestyles that their health can often deteriorate. And then if they're in a partnership with somebody else in the household, then complacency can really set in for people and say, well, I don't have to look good for you now. Or, you know, that motivation for, you know, what has happened to have them optimize their health at one point, or the aesthetics anyway, has gone, and they just get worse together. It's like broke plus broke doesn't equal wealth. Right. It equals more broke, and then you just get, yeah, it gets worse and worse. And it's the same mentally as well. I saw some numbers the other day where we are now living, despite past world wars and everything, in a global situation, the mental health of the globe is worse than it's ever been before. And so I think when it comes to that resilience and mental toughness, our children are growing up in a different era now than we did. And it's hard for us to relate to it, but certainly me. Like I'm 56 in August, and there were no phones. There was no social media. There was no YouTube. There was no internet when I was raised. So it was like, whatever you did outside or you got from the library and that kind of stuff. So our world is overcomplicated. It's fast moving. If something bad happens in the world, within an instant, the whole planet seems to know about it. It builds on our headspace of, well, I'm already got a whole bunch of, my own anxieties or stresses, and now you're pouring more things in. I like to keep things really, really simple. And I say, well, what I find stops most people is when it comes to their health and improving that is, what does your health really mean to you? And like, we could have a conversation, which would be long, around for each of us, what does health mean to you? Like, if I explain to you in detail what health really means to me, it'd probably take 25 minutes because I've drilled down so heavily on what's important to me. And it's almost like taking that little snowflake and making it two snowflakes, and it's gathering momentum down the hill. And before you know it, it's this snowball that's going to crash the whole house. Most people, I'll say, so, what does health mean to you? And some people say, well, I just want to feel better about myself, or I want to lose some weight. Mm-hmm. So, okay, that's a bit like sunscreen. As soon as you get in the shower, that's going to all wash off, right? That's not going to drive you. That might drive you for the next few hours for your next meal or something like that, but that's not going to inspire you to be something greater. So one of the things that I get my clients to do is, in my book, it's the very first thing that I get people to do, which is very confronting. And I say, do this with no one else around for reasons you'll understand in a second. I say, take all your clothes off and stand in front of the mirror and just look at yourself and see, what do you want to change aesthetically about you? Because that is important, as shallow as we might be. The way that we look is still really important. And then once you look at the physical you, then go on this deep dive within you to find out, what is it that is really important for you about your health? Some of the key things for me that have changed, for me, it started with aesthetics. And then it was about my self-image, like how I thought about what I saw, and then how I thought about myself, because I had a lot of toxic energy within my conversations with myself as a young kid. And now what I think about is, well, what's important for me is also being energized and also being really focused, because I want to be able to do more of everything. And so I can only do that if I come up with a really solid foundation, just like our house. We have slabs here. I don't know what it's like in Canada, but we have to build houses on slabs here. And they have to be a certain class so that, if the ground moves, they can move as well. If your slab is not right, your foundations aren't right, the house will eventually fall down. And that's the same with your health and wellness. If you don't come up with a really solid foundation for what's important to you. So for me, it's about doing the right type of training. It's the food, supplementation, sleep, water, mind growth, all that kind of stuff. For me to be able to get that right, I need to be focused on my health every single day, because I have very long days. I have a very big schedule. I can do like 50 coaching sessions a week with clients, and I still need to grow myself. I still need to look after myself. I still need to look after my family. And I can't do that if I don't have energy and if I'm not focused. Now, I don't have the energy if I'm just eating whatever it is that I want. I'm not sleeping well or regularly. I'm not doing the training. I'm not doing those simple things. So that's why I say to people, in order for you to start gaining some momentum, sit down with a pad and a pen or on your computer and write down, what does health mean to you? And it will be different for the three of us here, but you will not create this definition in your head, because you might think about one, two, or three things. I have 32 things that drive me to do what I do, because I numbered them and they're all in a document. Now, my daughter passed away just over a year ago from anorexia. And given what I do, there's so many different pain points because of that. I got to the point where I was kind of sick and tired of being like sad and feeling like I wasn't progressing myself. And I know that that's not anyone that passes in your life, the last thing they're going to say is, Vernon, I want you to be sad for the rest of your life. You better not grow. You better not do anything. You know, nobody wants that. They're like, you go on and live your best life, as painful as it is. So then I thought, you know what? I'm going to get that document out again. And within about 7 minutes, I added another 10 things as to how I can use my daughter to help strengthen my definition of health and help me grow forward. My point is, I now have 42 reasons, and there's no way I could ever have come up with all of those in my head. Because it's like you're creating momentum, right? You've written a couple of things, and it's like, oh yeah. And then there's that. And then there's that next thing. So to help people get started, I would say, we'll come up with, what is that first thing that's in your head? You want to look good. Okay, fantastic. What else? Now, it took me about a dozen things, and I got to my mum. All my family has passed on. I got to my mum, and I'd never thought about this before. As long as I could remember, she was always very unwell. She died at 66 of cancer. I never saw her eat well. She never did exercise. She wasn't overweight. She just didn't take care of herself. I'd never thought about that before. And I thought, you know what? I want to be the healthiest person in my family tree. It's not as a tree, it's not very healthy. So I wanted to be better than everybody else. So that was something that triggered me. My daughter now passing, it's like, well, I've got to double down on everything because I need to be there for my daughter that's remaining. And I want to see her and help her. And if I'm not here, then she's going to struggle. And so you find those individual things that are really powerful, and some of them will make you cry, but that's what's going to aspire you to be the greater version of you. So I think, coming back to the very beginning of what you asked, I think people are thinking so skin deep on what's important to them. And it's like, oh, well, I just want the quick fix. So, you know, we've got all the injectable drugs now that are really coming out. So I just want to get that aesthetic look. People are doing the surgery and that kind of stuff. Well, that doesn't change the mindset. They're not operating on your brain. They're operating on your tummy, and they're changing your insulin, you know, with your injections and stuff. You are still going to be the same version of you. It's like taking the same version of you and going to another relationship. It will eventually turn out the same because you're the same you. You got to improve you. And so, yeah, it's a long answer, but it's a complicated question, because it's why, despite all the technology and as smart as we might think we are, and with the AI, our health is getting worse as a globe. Mm-hmm. The physical health, in Australia, we're almost overtaking America with overweight and obesity. We're almost 70%. I think they're about 72, 73% in the US. I'm not sure what it's like in Canada, probably not too dissimilar. That's getting worse. Mental health is getting worse. And yet we have all this technology to get smarter. Mm-hmm. Go for it.
This September 12th is Don't Spread the Wealth Day. Get a copy of our new book, Don't Spread the Wealth, How to Leverage the Family Banking System to Own All the Gold, Make All the Rules, and Enjoy Generational Riches. This book is jam-packed full of incredible bonuses that we've put together, including our 15-page guide to hosting your own family banking meetings. Pre-order your copy today using the link down in the description, or visit don'tspreadwealth.com. That's don'tspreadwealth.com. Learn how to keep the money in the family so you can prosper together for generations to come.
I love a lot of the things that you identified in there, Rob, especially, you know, again, like the idea that people are only going skin deep, and kind of makes me think of, there's these people who build kit cars. They're cars that are meant to look like a really fancy car, but they're actually not. It's like a really crappy car with all the body equipment around it to make it look like the fancy car. It's like a Dodge Neon that's made to look like the DeLorean or something. And
yeah, what they used to do here is take the, the Herbie cars, they used to take those, and there was a businesses here that would do a Porsche conversion of them. So that, and convertible. So they cut off the top and they put the things on the front and they'd make it look like a Porsche. Now there's a very big difference between one of those frog type Porsches, because they had the same headlights, to a broken up, or VW.
I would imagine which one's going to win if they had a race and they both have the same red light.
Herbie, of course.
Herbie, of course. It's so that's kind of, as you were describing the skin deep and the really what's under the surface. If you go deeper in that, you really start thinking through, it's kind of the picture that I have in my mind of someone who's going to take this, you know, inferior car and make it look on the surface, yeah, like it's something much better than it is. And you're not going to get the same performance, the same capacity, all the things that you want out of what that car is made to look like, unless you actually went and got the right car. And that's kind of the reference point I had. How does that grab for you?
Yeah, spot on. I mean, it's also similar to what you guys work in, the wealth creation space. It's like saying, I just want more money. And then it's like, what's the easiest way to do it? And people think, oh, crypto. I've heard that if you just do crypto, then, you know, people make hundreds of millions of dollars and stuff. Well, the reality is you're probably going to lose your money, but that's only a short-term solution as well. That doesn't create a better version of you to create wealth. It's just like, it's effectively a lottery ticket. Like I hope I win the $3.7 million home and I can sell it and I can, you know, get money that way. It's like, okay, let's better you. Let's determine, why do you want those wealth creation strategies? How much do you think you need to live? What's in the household? How much income have you got? How can we make that better? What are some sensible, safe investments, et cetera, et cetera? You know, it's the same sort of thing. People looking for that quick fix without really understanding, well, what's really important? Like, money is just paper, or not even paper these days. Why do you need that? What's really important for you? How do we make you a better person to be able to, you know, be the best version of you? Is that a DeLorean over your shoulder, Vernon?
I'm glad you asked.
Is that a Lego? You're obviously a Lego person. So that's
I'm hooked on Lego, man. This is my this is my favorite. My I Lego love how DeLorean.
The wings open up. And Vern actually uses that in some of his PowerPoint presentations. Not that particular car, but a picture of the real one. We talk about making people time travelers with insurance to some degree in what we do. And right. And it's actually interesting, because if you could go back in time and think about a period in your life when you were your healthiest self, and how did you feel, and what, you know, and you were to list and identify the attributes, the, you know, the confidence, the types of things that came up for you at that period, there's this idea that to build something that you want, you have to first design it. You know, it shows up on paper, you draw it out, it's engineered in some way, and then you have to go construct it. Well, if you know the thing that you want, and that's your list of 42 things, Rob, you've basically created. It might be in written words, but effectively you can look at it as a drawing. It's a guiding principles of how you want to engineer the best Rob that you can be. And if you go back to the drawing board and you look at what you wrote down, it's like, oh, you know what? I was supposed to put a steel girder over here. It turns out what I actually ended up using was a bungee cord. Boy, let me go and swap that one out and I'll go put a girder in place instead.
Yeah, that's right. Yes. When I see people, I ask them, you know, what is it that you want? Describe it for me. And you can usually tell pretty quickly as to whether people are thinking deeply enough. And then the bigger question is, so why? Why do you want that? And for me personally, like, your journey changes. Like, what I wanted 36 years ago is different to what I want now. Like, when I was 20, when I started my journey, I didn't think about, well, I want to have energy and focus for the things that I do in my life. I mean, I wanted to improve my body. I wanted to put on muscle mass. I wanted to feel better about who I was. I just wanted to be bigger. I wanted to grow out of every item of clothing that I had, except my socks, but including my undies. I wanted everything to grow. You know, I wanted my butt to grow, my legs to grow, everything. And that was my primary goal then. It was only over time, over probably a decade, before I realized what a powerful impact it was having on my mindset. And it was probably only, I would say 10 years ago when I started to think, well, what we all have these days, like you just said at the start there, Richard, we have great days. And yet what we don't do is write down the recipe for that great day. Mm-hmm. We say, okay, oh, today was a really great, or this week was really great. It's a little bit like you made a great chocolate cake, but you didn't write down the recipe. And then you spend, next time you make it, you try and remember. So what did I do? And then you forget something. You didn't bake it as long. You missed an ingredient or something like that. So about 10 years ago, I got to that point where I was a little sick and tired of why am I not consistently performing great? And I would have like a couple of weeks of greatness, if you like, in my business. And then a couple of weeks would go by and I'm like, I feel like I'm just complacent. Why is that? So I thought, I'm going to create a checklist of all of those things that I think I need to do every single day, so that at the end of a day, I can say that was a great day. And then over time, if I just did that forever, I would grow and I would become more successful. And so I came up with, it was about a dozen things on that list. And so every day I would tick them off. I don't print anything now, but I don't remember a printer, but I create a spreadsheet with all little checkboxes and I tick them off 5 days of the week. And then I would realize that when I did some of these things, it was great. If I missed some, it really didn't matter. And then there were other things that I added over time. Now I don't have a hard copy list because I've just embedded it into myself. But what that did for me was said that, yeah, if I don't get my sleep right, then I'm tired, lethargic, can't do those other things. If I don't do my strength training when I say that I will, if I don't do around my, you know, my 10,000 steps, if I'm not walking, then my body doesn't feel great. If I don't get my supplements in, if I don't drink 3 liters of water a day, if I don't drink my water, if I'm not growing myself, if I'm not listening to like my mindset growing, like that self-improvement is really important for me. And I do it every single day. So it was identifying a whole bunch of different things. And then the biggest change was, what was interesting when I look back now, I just laugh at it. That checklist was for 5 days, Monday to Friday. Now I do it 7 days. So it's like, hang on a second, you got 2 days here. What makes you think that success doesn't happen on the weekend? So then I started doing it 7 days a week. And then that's where my life has just, really just gone to a whole other level, because I do those things consistently. And again, it comes back to why do I do that? And so one of the things that changed for me is where I said, I want to show up as the best version of myself every single day. What can I do better today than yesterday? How can I identify something today to make my life better tomorrow, a better version of me tomorrow? In terms of health, I have this overriding principle. I want to be in the top 1% of health for my age. Now, what's good about that is obviously we age every day. We tend to only notice it once a year when we have our birthdays. But every year, I don't want to be healthier than my 20s, because I've been healthy all the way along. But I want to be in the top 1% of age-related health, right? And I am doing that. And I find that's really exciting, because that can move with you. And as people get older and I get older clients come in, I can see what happens with 20, 30 years of, I'm going to say abuse, but where you're not focused on your health, you're eating whatever, you're drinking whatever, you're not exercising, whatever. And it shows up in ways that you really don't like, whether it's, you know, some sort of illness, disease, just pain, lack of energy, et cetera. And so I find that those guiding principles take me through every day. Now, having said all that, it also attracts a lot of criticism, because people will criticize me to say, well, why do you live like that? You know, you don't have to do this 7 days a week. When do you have fun? Because I don't drink, I don't smoke, I don't take drugs, don't do any of that stuff. I don't really enjoy going like dining out, that kind of stuff. People think that I don't have fun. Why? Because the way they have fun is by getting drunk, doing drugs, going out, doing all that kind of stuff. I just have fun by doing things like this right now. It's a Saturday morning here. I guarantee you probably 90% of the Victorian population is in bed still. But this is an opportunity to grow yourself, connect, make yourself greater, have an impact, and leave this place a better place than it was when I got here. So I think it comes back to, you know, there's some high-level things that help drive me to do what I do every single day.
I love the 1%, top 1% for your age. And what's interesting about that statement, as well as the idea that success happens also on the weekends, you know, those are really interesting principles, I think, for people to take away from this. If you're taking notes while you're listening, these are good ones to write down. But what's nice about, you know, the top 1% for your age, I'd never considered that before, but I like it because of the specificity. So it's something that's measurable. You can measure you, and then you can stack that up against statistics that you can find about people in your age category. And so, you know, a lot of times people will put these kind of pie in the sky ideas of what health is. And they'll say, I want to be A, B, and C, but there's no relevance point for them to be able to say, what does that actually mean? Like, it's not tangible to some degree. And your goal that you've identified is something that has tangibility because it could be measured. And if you don't have something that's measurable, then it's really hard to determine if you're on track or not. If you can't find out if you're on track or not, then it's easy to fall off track.
Yeah, absolutely. And like you say, I mean, you can use some AI tools, I mean, just like ChatGPT, and you can jump in there and say, okay, just search for what it is that you want to and statistics and that kind of stuff. Another good way is you can find a DEXA scan. So I don't know whether you've heard of those, but DEXA. So it's generally in hospitals, they're used for scans of bone density and so forth, but you can use the same machine, different settings to work out body composition. And depending, if you ever do have a DEXA scan, always go to the same place because the machines can be calibrated a little bit different. You want to be consistent with doing it. But that will give you in the report, it will tell you where you sit in terms of percentage for your age, in terms of body composition. That's just body composition, right? So just because you show up maybe looking good doesn't mean you're healthy on the inside. And I think bodybuilders are a great example of that. You might think that they look great on stage, and that's debatable depending on your view of muscle density and so forth. But they're often not healthy. They don't have a healthy lifestyle. And so that's the key here. It's coming up with those things that you can implement in your life to progress your life. And how do you keep focusing on getting better and being that best version of you every single day? And if this is sounding overwhelming for people, then yeah, there can be a lot of things that you need to do consistently to get into that top 1% of health. But what I have to do is coach people from, so where are you now? And if I use an example, I've had clients come in and they'll have, say, they'll eat three times a day, maybe four. Three of those are fast food. Like the breakfast, they'll go through the drive-through of Macca's or something. Lunch, they might have KFC. You know, dinner, they might have Macca's or, you know, some Chinese takeout or something like that. I was like, man, they're not getting the nutrients that they require in their body. So it's like for them to make a change, I say, okay, well, let's look at getting rid of the takeaway and replacing those meals. And if it's like, well, I can't do that, that's just too hard, it's too much. Well, let's start with one. Let's start with a breakfast, you know, that let's start with something that's healthy, nutritious for breakfast and tell them what to put in that, you know. And so it's starting from where you are and just building on that. Water is a great example. I saw something yesterday, something like only 10%. It was 10% of the population. And this was in the US. The article was a little dated. Do not drink any water. So they're getting liquid through, you know, like soda, you know, maybe tea, coffee, flavored milks, things like that, but no water. Something like 85% of the Australian adult population do not consume the recommended daily intake of vegetables. 85%. There's links with why is obesity getting worse and overweight and diseases and mental health and everything. People just aren't fueling themselves the right way. And so it's simple. So if you take water and you're not drinking any, I say 250 mils, which is a cup, a metric cup, which I don't know how many ounces that is. Sorry, people in the US and Canada.
Ounces for US, I'm pretty sure. I might be wrong, but I think it's 8 ounces.
Yeah, but in Canada, your mils, right?
Yeah, we're mils, yeah.
Yeah. Maybe the king and queen years ago said Canada, Australia, and the Commonwealth, you must to do this, only kilometers, no miles, no ounces and everything. Anyway, so wherever you are, so for here, 250 mils, increase it by 125 mils. Do it consistently for 3-4 days. If you think, yeah, this is pretty easy, take it up by a little bit. You don't need any vegetables. Start with a cup full or a handful, a fistful, if you like, of vegetables and start there and then just look to progress that throughout the day. And so then it becomes achievable because most people, like, it's pretty much like this everywhere around the world. People get a good idea, go join the gym, and a typical gym membership lasts about 12 weeks. starts with a lot of momentum. They start to get a little bit sore, can't be bothered, too tired, drop off. And then it's only the direct debit that's getting the work out in the future and you're just not going. So we've got to do it in a way that is really sustainable for people, because it's not about a diet. It's not about a trend. It's about how do we get you to follow the things that you can do healthily for the rest of your life.
Wow. So this is really great, Rob, because you mentioned that there's a lot of things that you have to do consistently, you know, to get to where you want to be, but you also kind of broke it down and said, you know, start with really digging down and drilling down into like, why on earth do you even want to make this change in the first place, and going beyond the surface and getting clear about that. And then the next thing that I pick from that is start with something simple. Like, don't get overwhelmed with all these massive changes you have to make. And if one thing's too hard to do, well, anything that you do, if you don't walk at all, if you just after dinner go for a walk around the block in your neighborhood, like, that's going to be better than not having gone for that walk. So just start with something where you can build a habit on top of it.
Yeah, because if there's 5, 6, 10 things that you need to do and they seem a little bit, they're going to challenge you. When it gets tough, what do? You go back to you. So why did I start this? What was really important for me to do this for? You've got to keep connecting that. Like, I think about, like, we've got the Olympics coming up, and I think, look, honestly, I think the Olympic movement's kind of dying a bit. I don't think that they're innovating enough to keep the younger audience attracted. But my point is, let's just say that I know we had the timing different because of COVID and everything. But say 4 years prior, you won bronze and you were the favorite to win. You didn't win, you won bronze. I've now got 4 years of training to do to come back again, to try and make it to that last race for gold in a different time zone, 4 years of training, 4 years older, to try and do it all again. In that 4 years, that's a lot of training sessions that you need to do. Like it's enormous, and you're going to have ups and downs, self-doubts. You're getting on the blocks and saying, geez, 4 years ago, I was the favorite in the same spot. Now I'm if it's swimming, I'm in a different lane now. And all you're thinking about is that bronze. Well, you're not going to win gold, right? So it's relentless, your mindset in being able to achieve success. There are so many things. So you've got to be able to keep attaching. So why is that gold medal important? Why is that top 1% of health important to me? Why, what is it that I wanted? How did I visualize that in my mind's eye again as to what it is that I want? And visualization is really important. But it's, in some ways, it's very simple, but other ways, it can be complicated as well. So I like to keep things simple and keep reaffirming. Okay, so what do I need to go back to those 42 reasons and go through and read them again? There'll be certain life events that happen for people where they're just super stressed. They're super busy. They're tired. They're sick. They're like, it's winter here, like COVID, that thing again is, back here. People get that. It's just that it doesn't seem to make any difference now. People just go about doing their own thing. But, people go down, they get RSV, they're off work, they're just down for a little bit. Well, life doesn't end. You get through that thing and then you just keep coming back to where it was that you wanted, keep attaching, what it is that you want for your healthy you. And you can see if your reasons as to what you want and why are only really thin, it all falls over. That's why you've got to make it super, super strong, so you never, ever stop. And I will never, ever stop. Never. There's nothing that could happen in my life where I would stop my healthy lifestyle, because I know what it all feels like. And I think one of the big challenges for people is, I could say to you, Vernon, you do these programs and you do the various steps that I'm saying, you're going to have like at least another 20%, 30%, maybe 50% plus more energy. And you can think about that and say, oh, wow, yeah, that sounds good. But you can't feel that. If you've never felt, if you've always been tired, you've never been particularly healthy, I can explain energy and what you can do. And I could say, Vernon, you know what? If you could take 20% more energy into the bedroom, what would that look like? And people start to think, oh, yeah, I can. That sounds exciting. But again, you can't feel it, right? Because I can't say, look, I'm gonna, just going to go, give me a high five, bang. Now feel that energy. And you're like, oh, is that what you mean? It's really hard because unless people feel that, they don't relate to it. And that's one of the biggest challenges. It's kind of like, I'll use the example of meal plans that I do for people. If say somebody like at fast food example, or it might even be where whatever you're doing right now, within 3 days, people feel better. They feel less bloated. They feel more energized within 3 days. That's how quickly that part happens. They don't get the, you know, the full body transformation, all that kind of stuff. But within 3 days, if you can start to feel better and people start to sleep better, then they have start to get more energy and they start to get this momentum in feeling better. And so my clients that are doing the best, I say, so could you ever see yourself stopping that? I say, no way. Because it's the natural legal drug, I suppose, that the endorphins that you get from it. But explaining it to somebody is really, really difficult because you've got to feel it.
There's so many similarities between all the incredible coaching tips that you've provided here for our listeners and what we talk about on a pretty regular basis with our clients around fundamentally it's behavioral change in their financial life. And that idea of, you know, 20% better energy, 50% better energy. Well, the financial energy is running through your life every day. And the problem is that you're letting it leak out and giving it to someone else. And if you could maintain 20, 30, 50% more of that for your family's, you know, internal utilization, then what would that do for you? Again, it's this thing that unless you've experienced it, you can't really see. But once you begin to go through the process, like you said, you go 3 days by removing that fast food meal. And then you go 3 days by incrementally increasing the water. Well, what does it look like? And so those incremental steps that are little commitments that lead to small changes, which then are perceptible. So small changes are happening, I think, all the time, but there's a difference between what we can perceive and what we can't. And when it becomes perceptible, then you actually have realization. The realization is, oh, this is working or that's working. And yes. So it's a behavioral thing, I think, that really works. And you talked about the foundation and how important that is. And certainly in Canada, we have foundations are very important, probably for a slightly different reason than they are where you're located, being that it's frozen cold sometimes here. So the foundation is core. And like, you know, you talked about the three different decades that you've been doing this work in your life and how the thing that Rob was looking for in the first 10 years versus the next 10 years versus this 10 years is different. And so I just look at it as, okay, you built the house. The house is there. The house has been around for 30 years. But, you know, 10 years later, you're kind of saying, you know, maybe it's time to do some renovations. I don't really like that pink toilet and the pink bathtub. We're going to swap those out. We're going to do a bathroom reno, and we're going to replace these kitchen cupboards. And we're not going to do everything, but we're going to do that, and we're going to paint the walls. But you know what you don't change is you don't change the foundation.
Yeah, that's right. And you might. It's like in that scenario, it's like changing the furniture. Like the furniture changes. And to me, that's like, okay, well, your priorities are changing in your mind. Like when I started, there was no concept of like I was single. There was no concept of children or, you know, what like way into the future looked like. But then when you're there and you're there pretty quickly, like just things just change. Like what was once important to you perhaps becomes less important, but you're shifting it, but the priority of your health still remains the same. Like when I started, I wasn't thinking about health. I was thinking about looks, but like health wasn't something I didn't want to be, taking drugs. I wanted to do it naturally and that kind of stuff. I didn't want to take steroids and that. I wanted to do it all naturally. So that part of health was important for me, but I wasn't thinking about health the way that I do now in terms of focus, energy, because I was also an employee. Like I was working as a chartered accountant and that my life just looked very, very different. As I've gotten older, just those priorities have really shifted to now what I think will take me through to the rest of my life.
Well, Rob, you've dropped some gold nuggets, I think, for us here and for our listeners. And hopefully when they get a chance to hear this, they can have a pen and paper handy and they can write down some of these incredible action steps. So many things that are immediately stuff that can be put into motion right away. And so we appreciate you joining us from the future to be on our chat today and for making the commitment on a Saturday as you do for podcasts. So I'm curious now, I mean, before I ask my final question, what I do want to know, is this going to be three podcasts for you today? Because you've got to do two. Yes. And this is the extra. So it's actually a three podcast day for Rob.
Yeah, that's right. I think the most I've done on a day is five.
Wow. Well,
because obviously I have guests on the my show, the Mental Toughness and Body Show one. I have guests on that too. So some days I wake up and then there's people have automatically popped into my calendar because, you know, I've connected with people and it's just by chance they all, they all happen to pick the same day at different time zones to, it's like, oh, golly, okay, this day wasn't turning out the way that I thought it was going to. So,
you five podcasts in a day though, I mean, that's, I would look at that as five times the leverage in your ability to create legacy and to add value to people's lives. I mean, and plus you're going to have 5 hours of fun when you go to do that too.
Yeah, that's right. I just wanted to come back to pick up on what you said earlier about the, because I get that a lot of your audience are perhaps into wealth creation and so forth. And, you know, we were talking about the foundations. I think if you want to look at your health, wellness a little bit differently, think about what you're doing in your wealth creation, right? What are you doing every single day? You don't just say, okay, well, here's the idea and bang, here's the money. You have to create those habits every single day so that you can, at the end of the day, have your pot of gold when you retire or whatever, and you understand what that money is for. You're not letting it leak out. And it's the same with your food. You're using the same principles. You're just doing it in a different part of your life. And I think if you do that, I always say success leaves clues. And even though I work in health, wellness, fitness, I use the same strategies in my own personal wealth creation. I use it in the same way that I coach clients, in the same way that I add value to other people. They're the same principles. It's just that people don't necessarily see it that way. And I think you only do it, I say, take some time out on the weekend and really sit down in some quiet time with yourself, no distractions, define what it is that you want your health to look like. Pick, say, three areas of life. I think if you pick wealth, not in this order, I would go health first. Then I would go wealth and then family or exercise, health, whatever. You know, well, that's really tied in health. But pick three and then say, where am I now? Where do I want to be and what's the gap? And how am I going to close those gaps? Because so many people just go from stressed situation from day after day after day with no purposeful plan because, again, they don't really define what they want, why it's important, et cetera, et cetera. So I just wanted to kind of relate that to maybe your audience that are thinking, well, how does this relate to wealth creation? Without, you could have all the wealth in the world, but if you don't have health, you've got, doesn't matter how much you got, it's all going somewhere else for someone else to.
That's incredible, Rob. Thanks so much for expanding on that because I think it's a really good segue. And I like how you kind of created a quick map there. It's like, where am I at now? Where do I want to go? And what's the gap? How do I close that gap? That was incredible. So the question that we always like to ask people when we close up the show is, you kind of laid a really good foundation for this. But Rob, if you had to pick, who do you want to be a hero to?
Oh, gosh. Well, I suppose a hero, I would say my daughter. I guess both daughters. I like to feel that I'm not particularly, I guess I'm spiritual, not particularly religious, but I like to feel that my daughter, the past, is always with me. And I guess like in any parenting type situation, both parents are different. I'm divorced, but Em's mum has a lot of strengths that I don't have. I've got a lot of strengths that her mom doesn't have. I like to think that I am, creating a more successful version of myself through her. So that I think that's the, I think you've been successful as a parent if your kids are more successful than you and happier than you and healthier than you and all that kind of stuff. So I've got a lot of stuff that she's not really ready for yet. Like when I said to her, Em, you've got to know that I do all these podcasts. And she said, oh, what are your podcasts called? And I'm like, I've told you before, but anyway, here they are again. So that I said, when there does come a time in your life and I am gone, you know that these are there for you to tap into. And so I think if, you know, she can become the best version of her through the things that I talk to her about, either on this show, hi, Em, if you're watching, or through conversations that I have with her, then I think I will have been successful. I mean, where I started, like I said, with the podcast was for one client. And I'm surprised that I have somebody that pretty much reaches out to me every day now and kind of gives me a summary of what I spoke about. So I never go back and listen and said, oh, I found this point really good. And, you know, this is really helpful. Thanks so much. And it's helping progress my life. Like you just never know. Like you help one person. So if I can be, you know, another person's hero out there, then, you know, fantastic. But I guess my main one's my daughter or daughters, and knowing that, you know, when we meet in the afterlife, perhaps we'll say, wow, look at what we've done.
Amazing.
Love it. Rob, thanks again for being with us. So grateful for your time, your attention, and of course, your wisdom shared with our audience today. And for those of you watching us, of course, on YouTube, you'll see, poof, there's a beautiful video that just popped up right there. It says, watch me. So you should go ahead and do that. Till next time, everybody. Thank you so much.
I guess my main one's my daughter or daughters, and knowing that, you know, when we meet in the afterlife, perhaps we'll say, wow, look at what we've done.
Amazing.
Love it. Rob, thanks again for being with us. So grateful for your time, your attention, and of course, your wisdom shared with our audience today. And for those of you watching us, of course, on YouTube, you'll see, poof, there's a beautiful video that just popped up right there. It says, watch me. So you should go ahead and do that. Till next time, everybody. Thank you so much.
Thanks for listening to the Wealth Without Bay Street podcast, where your wealth matters. Be sure to check out our social media channels for more great content. Hit subscribe on your favorite podcast player and be sure to rate the show. We definitely appreciate it. And don't forget to share this episode with someone you care about. Join us on the next episode where we continue to uncover the financial tools, strategies, and the mindsets that maximize your wealth.